Welcome to the Taking the Lead podcast, where we empower people to be unstoppable. I'm Christine Heppner with my co-hosts Leslie Hoskins and Timothy Cuneo. How's everything been going? What's everybody?
Well, my weekend was not good with Glacier. We went to a restaurant, and we walked in and went to our table, and there was a lady sitting there before we got there, and she saw Glacier, and, oh, what a beautiful dog. Can I pet your dog?
Oh.
And I politely said, no, ma'am, she's a service animal. She's working right now, but thank you. And she's probably in her early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took Glacier underneath the table like I normally do, and we're talking along with our guest that we were talking to. And all of a sudden, Glacier just darted from underneath the table out into the aisle and was eating something. And I just grabbed, I thought somebody maybe accidentally dropped something. So I grabbed her real back and scolded her a little bit and put her back in and tucked her underneath the table. Well, to come to find out, the lady was throwing food at Glacier.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's so frustrating.
And, by the time I found out, they have already left.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the lady at work there came out with one of those dust things and was sweeping the mess up. I mean, it's a lot everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just angry. I was very angry.
That is so rude.
Yeah, very disrespectful.
Yeah, because you don't know, Glacier could be on a special diet. I mean, one, you shouldn't be doing that in the first place. But two, like, you're just giving a dog food that isn't approved by its owner.
Yeah, I don't feed her human food. Maybe she'll get some cheese, but that's about it.
And, yeah.
Well, it's more disrespect to me also.
Yeah. Right.
She asked and you politely declined, right? It's okay if people ask. People are curious. We know that. They always want to know about the dogs.
Yeah.
And you answered and told her, you know what? Not right now. It's an inappropriate time. Glacier's working. Service animal. No, thank you. And kind of that disrespect to go against your wishes. I'm sorry that happened. That's really frustrating.
It was. I mean, everybody who's deciding maybe to get a guide dog, you need to realize that the dog always gets attention. And that could be one of the downsides of having a dog, because you will be drawing a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And so you just never know what your interactions are going to be. So, I mean, I can handle it as long as the other person I'm talking to can handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so, thank you for sharing that, Timothy, because I think that's so important. And I'm sure it happens to, you know, other listeners, so they can probably relate and kind of relate to what you're saying. So you said that she left before you knew that this was happening. I guess if this happens to anyone else, the way you handled it, do you have any advice for anyone else?
Well, I would be calmly, because you're out in public and you are still, you know, you want to do it calmly, but you need to be stern with them. I would say, hey, you know, I've asked you please not to interact with my dog. And, you know, it is a misdemeanor for somebody to interact with a service animal. It is against the law. And, I wouldn't threaten him with that, but I would, you know, calmly say, hey, you know, what you did was illegal. Just be calm about it and be direct and smile while you're doing it, I guess.
I'm just glad. Timothy. I don't know how calm I would be in that situation.
I know Cheryl would get on them pretty quick.
Yeah.
Cheryl rarely defends us and part of my other family. If they were there, there would have been a hot mess. But if we had found out about it while they were there, we would have said something and calmly done it.
Sure. But, it's a moment to advocate and educate and let them know why it's inappropriate, you know, the damage it can do to Glacier potentially, and the training that it kind of is. Then it's encouraging her to be scavenging and looking for food, and we can't have that, especially in public places. So people don't understand always the results of their actions, right? The consequences, and really they all fall to you.
I think sometimes when I'm out and about, I believe people are testing Glacier to make sure she is a true service animal.
That's interesting.
And I do get that a lot in my travels because there are some dogs out there that are being identified as a service animal who are truly not.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I really believe people are testing these dogs and then they go off and that's not a real one.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, there are people out there who are just, they're not your friends.
Yeah.
And so it just be calm if you got to confront it. And because just getting all hot and bothered and then it doesn't accomplish anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You being calm about it probably is more effective than you yelling at somebody.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you can't control somebody else, but you can control your reaction.
Yeah, that's the one you need to control.
So inspirational this morning, you guys. Way to go, team. I love it. No, I'm sorry that that happened to you, Timothy, and I really appreciate you sharing, and it's a different perspective. And honestly, I'd never really thought about people testing the dog. That's very interesting, but I could totally see that happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how frustrating that must be.
I'm very proud of Glacier when she does what she's supposed to, because it's tough for these dogs just to sit there and see a cute little baby go by or another dog or whatever. But when it's food and you got a lab, that's too much temptation.
Yeah, that's drawing the line.
Yeah,
that's drawing the line. I forget my training. I'm over there getting that chicken wing.
Yeah, they are food motivated for sure.
Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry that happened, but also thank you for giving some examples and how to handle the situation, because I'm sure you are not alone in this.
But yeah, I'm sure I'm not.
Well, good. Well, hopefully next weekend will be better, but thank you for that. And today we have a new guest, someone who is a longtime volunteer who regularly goes above and beyond at Leader Dogs for the Blind.
Yes, Mike Toger has been a volunteer at Leader Dog for over 6 years and continues to volunteer in multiple capacities. He's a blindfold walk volunteer, a community engagement volunteer, and host to one of our fabulous canine ambassadors, Finley, who happens to be in the room with us today. I did say hi to her before I did say hi to
Didn't
everybody else.
Didn't even greet me or Mike as well. Sorry. Just straight to Finley. So see, Timothy, we also experienced that on our end.
Yes. Always about the dog.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, Mark,
I mean, she did come and say hi to me, so I will say that. Wow. You guys didn't get up.
I'm sure I've been interested in Finley, too.
Yeah.
Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being a volunteer for Leader Dog. So tell us a little bit more about yourself.
I am a small business owner who about 7 years ago took a tour of Leader Dog and was totally enthralled and had a wonderful guide dog experience, tour of the facility, and went home and signed up to be a volunteer and also to get a career change dog. We had just lost our golden retriever.
You know, we hear that all the time. People like have one experience, because we talk about it as a community engagement volunteer, which we'll get into a little bit, that Mike is. We never know what our return on investment is when we do presentations or tours or things like that. We don't know what's going to come of it. Is somebody going to be a donor? Is somebody going to be a volunteer, raise a puppy, suggest services to somebody else, or maybe nothing?
Yeah.
It could be any of those things. So it's always interesting, but impactful for you. You decided you went home and you signed up to be a volunteer. What was the first volunteer position that you applied for?
To work as a blindfold guide for HPL, the Harness Power Leadership corporate program.
Mm-hmm. What does a blindfold guide do?
I help people at events walk under blindfold with one of our ambassador dogs. So I help them get oriented with the dog, and then we do a short walk. Sometimes it's just very short. Sometimes it's on a small obstacle course. So they get an experience of what it's like under blindfold to walk with a dog.
Yeah, it's something that we as team members as well get to do when we're first onboarded. And Mike and Finley did my first walk as well, right?
Wow.
It's very cool.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to educate the public, build some understanding, some empathy, right? And we remind them, right? It's just a small glimpse. Like the walks that Mike and the team are doing are meant to be seamless. It's meant to, you know, help you understand what it's like to feel like what it's like to walk with a guide dog. Can't talk today. But never realistic, right?
Yeah.
We know that our clients are experiencing so many other challenges, and at the end of the day, we can take the blindfold off. But it's so impactful, right? People who have no idea maybe about Leader Dogs for the Blind or service dogs or guide dogs or anything like that get this opportunity to close their eyes and trust an animal to guide them around obstacles. And it is really impactful. And I think you probably, Mike, have helped so many other people join Leader Dog as a donor or volunteer or other capacities.
Well, thank you. We really try. And it's really interesting. Probably the biggest comment that I get doing the walks is the trust that the client and the dog must develop, because that client's life is in that dog's hand. And it's really amazing. I've gotten to know a lot of the clients and dog teams. It's amazing what they do. I mean, I just do a little bit with a, you know, highly trained dog, but what they do every day is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
So what is one of your favorite parts about Leader Dog that you see every day, Mike?
It's an amazing campus. Everybody is on board on the mission. It's a wonderful place. It's a great place to volunteer. I'm there all the time. I love it. It's a great group of people, and I get to play with the dogs.
Yeah. You know, what's amazing is when you go to campus as a team member, you are outnumbered by our volunteers. So, Mike, people like you and the rest of our volunteers really do so much for us, and we can't thank you enough.
Well, Friday, I did blindfold walks with 42 fifth graders from a local school.
Oh, we definitely can't thank you enough for that.
Oh, we were outnumbered. Yeah. There was munchkins everywhere.
For sure. It's so good. And when Mike says he's there all the time, he's there all the time. And we're also calling him last minute, like, hey, Mike, is there any chance you are available to do this? And he is. The flexibility that you have and how often you step up, we so, so greatly appreciate it. Because not only, like we mentioned in the beginning, is Mike a blindfold walk volunteer. So again, he spent the time to be trained, to be upskilled, to work with these dogs in this fashion and provide that experience to others. But also he's a community engagement volunteer. Do you mind explaining a little bit more about that role?
Well, that's a new role last year where there's about nine of us that we go out and handle a lot of small events that you two just didn't have time to do all of them. So we do everything from retirement homes to schools to Girl Scouts to business groups to museums. I know we just finished up a big program at the Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. So we have this great group of volunteers who, again, took the time and have the dedication to come learn more about Leader Dog in the sense of like our history, our numbers, how many dogs we're putting out, more about blindness in general. What are some common diagnoses that people have or what they experience so that they can go out and do community presentations. So we get tons of requests and we hate saying no because we, again, we don't know what that return on investment is going to be. One thing I always talk about is one of our guide dog mobility instructors, he heard a presentation at his school when he was in like fourth grade or something. And he knew then he wanted to be a guide dog mobility instructor. So sometimes these things that you do, you have no idea till maybe 15 years later, the impact that they had. So we're so appreciative that Mike and the rest of the team are the community engagement volunteers and go out and do these really fun community presentations.
Well, I know when I was up there at Leader Dog, I saw how important the volunteers are with Leader Dog. I mean, they come and pick you up at the airport. They go get errands for you during the week if need be. And then they have a night where they have game night. There are volunteers. They're helping us out through the game time. So, I mean, the volunteers are very important with Leader Dog because if the volunteers weren't there, there's just more responsibility for the staff. And it just frees up the staff to concentrate on guide dogs and O&M and everything. So thank you to the volunteers for doing what they do.
Yeah, it's so interesting the different roles, too, as a volunteer. How did you pick the blindfold walk volunteer? Were there others that were tempting or this one you thought like it just seemed like a good fit?
It seemed like a good fit. When I checked, it was one of the two jobs listed.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
So then I came in and interviewed with Dave, ran the HPL program, and started the following week.
Interesting.
That is so cool.
Yeah, because Dave was doing the Harness the Power of Leadership, which was a really big presentation. So you kind of started in that role, and then we just recently kind of added on this community engagement, which it already had a ton of experience for, and it made sense.
Yeah.
But we haven't talked about our lovely lady here laying on the floor.
Well, Finley's doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing.
And it's not Christina.
Yeah, I was about to be like, this could be go one or two ways. Me just laying on the floor, or we're talking about the dog.
Finley, I think they're picking up.
Yeah, she just laid up.
Well, Finley's doing exactly what she should be doing. She's laying at my feet. She still is amazing under harness, and when we go on our walks, I have to remember that I am a client and let her do the leading. She gets really upset with me if I go to step off a curb without asking.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's great that we have canine ambassadors. Leslie and her team are in charge of all of our canine ambassadors. And it's great to be able to, so these are dogs that were career changed for, you know, they probably would have made it through training. Some of them have ear infections or something that we wouldn't want to put that burden onto the client to have to, you know, take to the vet all the time and all of that sort of stuff. So it's great that we have these dogs that can, we can take to events and show like, this is how our guide dogs act. act. This is how a leader dog should act, or kind of give the public that little inside.
Yeah, and it's nice to take a dog the way that people can interact with. Like you were talking about Timothy, Glacier is a service dog. People should not be interacting with her. But Finley, right, typically is wearing not the harness, but a Canine Ambassador jacket. So similar to what our puppies or future leader dogs wear. It's like a little vest almost, and it's green. So we tell our audience, which we still always encourage people to always, always ask before interacting with a dog. But for us, green means go. So if they're wearing their Canine Ambassador jacket, typically, yes, it's appropriate. You can interact with these dogs. Because again, we know it's challenging to be around dogs that you can't interact with, which is why we kind of have this group. They are not technically service dogs, but they do still have all of those skills to make them wonderful.
Well, Finley is a unique story because she did graduate and actually go to a client in upstate New York. And in the first month, supposedly, she developed a limp. They exchanged the dog out, brought her back. Finley went through extensive checks with the vet, couldn't find anything, so they moved her into the ambassador group. I've housed her since November of 2019. Through all through the pandemic, we literally walked hundreds of miles and I've never seen a limp.
Finley.
That was her way of saying, hey, I want a different job, maybe.
Well, and she's doing what she really should be doing. She's an amazing ambassador dog. I can take her anywhere, best behavior, work under blindfold, yeah. Little kids, older people. She is just amazing.
Yes. Yeah. She went with me and Alyssa to Kentucky. She was my roommate. So Finley and I stayed together. She was lovely. It was very nice. And honestly, we go on these trips and do these things, and these dogs are so adaptable and just happy to jump in the car with us. You'd never even know they're there half the time, and just so, so good. We're so lucky to have these dogs to take for these educational opportunities, because not only are we doing this for potential donors or just people in the community or kids and things like that, we also will use these dogs a lot of times for walks on Friday afternoon in O&M, so an orientation mobility, if a client comes and is doing the cane week and they want to explore the guide dog option and it's appropriate. A lot of times we use our canine ambassadors because they're going to be a little bit more calmer of an experience versus our younger dogs still in training. We also use them for educational opportunities for certified orientation mobility professionals such as myself who are coming to learn more about helping a client prepare for a guide dog or how to help a client when they get home with a guide dog, orienting them to new environments. So a lot of times we call upon these dogs for so many different scenarios, and we're fortunate to have them. And we're fortunate that you, Mike, care for Finley. So she lives a lovely life. She goes home every day and sleeps and has a typical almost pet life. But then also always excited to come to work. So it's been fantastic. And you as a blindfold walk volunteer and a community engagement volunteer, it could not be more convenient on our end.
Yes. Because then Leslie doesn't have to go, okay, we have to get a dog. She goes, Mike, just bring your dog.
I'm like, if Mike comes, Mike has everything we need. Yeah. The logistics are cut in a third, honestly.
So you make Leslie's life a lot easier is what she's saying.
That's my goal in life.
Oh my gosh. If everybody had that mindset, can you imagine?
I probably make it a bit more complicated.
I know. Yeah. No, and truly Alyssa too. Alyssa, who is the outreach specialist on my team, is fantastic. She does a lot of the logistics. She does a lot of the communication with our volunteers. And so it's just such a good group of individuals that we've got. We're very, very fortunate. But Mike, what are some of your favorite events? When you think of the years you've been doing this, what are some of the fondest memories?
Bark and Brew in the summer. We get all the runners coming off and we're very busy and everybody wants to know about Leader Dog. Dinner in the Dark is also very interesting, which is coming up this Friday. We do the photos with the people arriving in that and just wander around and people want to know about the dogs. You know, I equate it to our goal and our mission is to help visually impaired people with mobility. But the dogs are what everybody wants to know about because they're around, they're amazing. These are probably the most highly trained dogs the average public can see. I mean, you're not going to get close to a police dog, a drug sniffer at the airport, but these amazing animals interact with the public all the time.
And you're right. I think dogs typically bring people into the organization and then the people mission, I think, make people stay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. It's interesting.
It's the whole package.
Yeah. And to see that connection between animals and humans and how they're helping and interacting.
Well, I've been told by some clients that not only do they get help with their visually impaired, they get a new best friend.
Yeah.
Is that true, Timothy?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. My big question, Leslie, for you is how does somebody become a volunteer?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Timothy, for asking. As Mike mentioned, if you go to our website, leaderdog.org, become a volunteer is almost one of the biggest buttons on there. Because again, as mentioned, Christina said, we have, I think, almost 400 on-campus volunteers and about 400 off-campus volunteers who are typically in the role of puppy raiser. So we just could not do what we do at our organization without volunteers. And volunteers have a role in almost every single department at our organization. But you can sign up for open slots on the website. You can also sign up for special events. So I know Mike also participates in all the special events, or most times, such as the Dinner in the Dark or the Light Up Leader Dog or the Bark and Brew. So if people can't have that commitment of kind of a regularly scheduled volunteer opportunity, there's those kind of couple times a year opportunities as well. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. So when we ask for volunteers, it's kind of like taking on a job. We want a year commitment. We want typically scheduled hours and days of the week. Mike, in your roles, it's kind of, we never know.
Well, I'm very fortunate. I'm only 4 miles away from campus, so that helps. So I'm not coming too far. And all I have to do is tell Finley we're going to work and she's ready to go. This morning I told her at 8 o'clock we're going to work. Until we left, she sat by the door with her tail wagging. She loves to come to work.
Yes. She's so sweet. Well, and I'm looking at our volunteer webpage right now. Mm. If you are interested, there's 3 openings right now. We need client celebration assistant, a client driver, which that's a really cool volunteer opportunity because you go to the airport and pick up our clients, bring them back to campus for training, and then take them back home as well. Or not back home. You're not driving all over the U.S.
No.
You take them back to the airport.
The airport. Yeah.
Yes. And then a volunteer veterinarian as well. So we have 3 openings right now.
And the educational opportunities that come with each one of those, you know, we don't just throw you into something and sink or swim, right? We really do provide the training and we upskill everybody so that they're comfortable. And we just recently had a community engagement volunteer meeting. You know, we've been doing it for about a year now. So we kind of got back together and discussed as a group what's been working, what hasn't been working, what additional resources do we need? Because you guys are the ones really doing it. So we're here to help support and want to provide you with whatever you need. What do you think so far as the community engagement volunteer, some of those presentations that you've done, what have been some of kind of the most interesting topics or questions that you've gotten?
We did an event at the Troy Historical Museum, and it was billed as Come and Learn About Leader Dog. And we had about 5 families come who were very interested, really didn't know Leader Dog was right in Rochester Hills, wanting to know about it for a relative. So we had 4 interactions with people who thought they could use the services. And we talked to them, showed some literature, and then referred them on to the right people at LeaderDog. So that was probably one of the most impactful ones we did.
Yeah, I love that. Because you never know who you're going to meet. And it's, you know, crazy to me that so many people don't realize that, like, we are where we are in Michigan. Even people who live in the Metro Detroit area are like, oh, I've seen the campus, but I didn't know that, like, that is actually where everything happens. So it's really, you know, going out, educating, and then also bringing people to campus. Every time someone comes to campus, every time I've done a tour or I've heard from people, they're like, wow, I did not know that this was all here. Because when you drive by on Rochester Road, you're like, oh, there's Leader Dog. It looks like a tiny campus until you actually get on campus and really see everything. But something about our volunteers too is that some of our team members started as volunteers as well, which
our CEO, which is fantastic. People fall in love with the mission and you just want to get involved in whatever capacity you possibly can. And many volunteers like Mike have multiple roles as a volunteer. So it's pretty rare, actually. I feel like that everybody, a volunteer, would only have one role, which is crazy to me. The time and dedication that we have from you, Mike, and everybody else And we've been fortunate in our community engagement volunteer group to have a couple people who are new to Leader Dog. So just kind of learning out, and they're already dipping their toe in and have already signed up for multiple roles, or just really getting involved with the mission. And it's so fun to be a part of.
Well, I want to go back a minute to the campus itself. When I did the tour back in, 2017, I knew what Leader Dog was. I've never lived further than 20 miles away from that campus, but I really didn't understand it. So coming on a tour was just fascinating. The admin building in the dorms, and then the canine center. Now, the canine center at any time can have anywhere from 100 to 150 dogs in housing, and it is super clean. The dogs are so well cared for. A lot of psychology was used in building that. These dogs are in the villages and they're calm, and it's amazing. I've always been a dog person. I've always had dogs in my life, and just the care that these dogs have is amazing for this many dogs.
Yeah. So I interviewed during COVID. So I actually had a virtual interview. The first time I was on campus was my first day. So coming to campus for my first day at work, I was mind blown. I was like, oh my gosh, I did not realize the state of the art facility for the dogs and all of that. But just on tours, we do public tours. It's $5 a person, and you have to be 10 years old or older to attend one of these tours. So if anyone actually is interested, you can book a tour on our website. There's dates and all of that as well.
And if you can't come to campus, if you are far away, potentially, if you go online at leaderdog.org under the resources tab, if you go to our virtual learning, there are some really great videos on campus tour, and it kind of shows you the ins and outs of the Canine Development Center and also the residents, which not many people get to see the residents because typically we have clients there and we want to protect their privacy and keep them safe and whatnot. So getting an inside look into the residence where our client stays is actually pretty cool. And Mike is fortunate too. He's built some great friendships with a couple of our clients who he's spent a lot of time with, which is always wonderful because then he can kind of share their perspective or stories. And that's always really helpful when educating the community too, is to give some examples of how these dogs have impacted people's lives.
Well, over the years, we've traveled with the programs, and we actually did Harness the Power of Leadership for the Philadelphia Eagles management in Philadelphia just before COVID, where we actually went and trained their senior management and did the dog walks and all that. And they were so gracious. They actually let us see a Lombardi Trophy being here from Detroit. It was kind of a unique thing. And then we had complete run of the facility, went down on the field. It was really a great time. We had a great time as volunteers and staff.
It's fantastic, right? Because we're bringing quite the production. So we're bringing team members, we're bringing volunteers, we're bringing canine ambassadors, and most importantly, we're bringing clients, right, to share their story and their experience. So, Mike, you have done so much for this organization, and you continue to do, and we just rely on you so heavily, and we're so, so thankful for you and Finley. And thank you for being here today and sharing your story and why, you know, Leader Dog is important to you. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
And thank you so much to our listeners for listening to the Taking the Lead podcast. I'm Leslie Hoskins with hosts Timothy Cuno and Christina Heppner. We hope you enjoyed learning about Mike and the important roles that he plays at Leader Dog. Please join us next time as we continue to dive into the world of blindness.
Yes, and if you'd like to learn more about volunteering or applying for our free services at Leader Dog, you can head to leaderdog.org or call us at 888-777-5332. And don't forget, you can reach us at takingthelead@leaderdog.org with any questions or ideas. If you like today's podcast, make sure to hit subscribe and check us out wherever podcasts stream.